Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's episode, we are going to discuss difficulties faced in the new Weimar Republic, especially revolts from both left and right. After the Weimar Republic was established, it faced challenges from a range of different groups across the political spectrum, each of which wanted to remove the mainstream Weimar system from power and instead run the government. This was divided into left-wing groups that wanted to see issues such as more people being given a chance to run their country, and in particular, many of the left-wing groups wanted to see an income inequality, ending or at the very least reducing differences between the rich and poor. They were opposed by many on the right. These were often groups that wanted to see a single strong leader, and they were very often especially nationalist in supporting their own country. They often in particular opposed any such notion of making a more equal country in economic terms. One of the major problems that the Weimar Republic faced was that it never fully pleased anyone. Left-wing people in the country wanted to see considerably more radical changes, for instance, a much more economically equal society, without money, wealth and power being controlled in a small group. The right, on the other hand, wanted to see a return of something more akin to a Kaiser-style government. As a result of this, left-wing groups took steps to overthrow the Weimar system. Arguably the most famous of these was that of the Spartacist Revolt. The Spartacists were a communist group, and they wanted to see very significant radical change in Germany. Many of them wished to see a revolution like that in Russia, which would give full power and control to workers and soldiers groups across the country. The new Chancellor of Germany, once the Weimar Republic had been established, Friedrich Ebert, was a member of the Social Democratic Party. He believed that all parties had the right to be represented in the Reichstag, but he was also very opposed to a communist system of government. He was particularly worried that the communists would use violence to overthrow his government, and as a result, he reached a secret deal with Wilhelm Groener, the head of Germany's army, to support this new government. This was in exchange for the army's leaders keeping their job. On the face of it, this was perhaps a strange alliance. Neither Ebert nor Groener especially liked the other one. Ebert had been especially vocal during the war in criticising the leadership of the army, and Groener was suspicious of Ebert's political beliefs. However, both of them were united in their desire to stop a communist revolution taking over Germany. In January 1919, 100,000 workers staged a demonstration in Berlin to complain about the poverty and poor working conditions that they faced. The Spartacists and other communist groups joined in this protest, and it very soon turned violent. The German army was sent in to tackle the Spartacists and end the revolt, and to do this, they used a group of former soldiers known as the Freikorps. This was a group that was especially renowned for its violence, and given that they blamed communist groups for Germany's defeat in World War I, it was no surprise that they used this violence to extreme ends. During a bloody week of violence, hundreds of protesters were killed, most notably leaders of the Spartacists, Karl Liebknecht and Rosa Luxemburg. The Spartacist revolt ultimately came to an end, and this was at least an action supported by most people in Germany, who wanted a return to some element of normality. However, the Social Democratic Party's decision to use the Freikorps would ultimately, at a later date, help Hitler into power. This is because the communists refused to ever again work with the Social Democrats, and this was a division that limited possible obstacles to the Nazis taking power. However, it wasn't just left-wing groups that sought to overthrow Weimar. Right-wing groups were involved in this as well, most famously at the Munich Putsch. Many people in Germany were very unhappy with events since 1918. They were angry at matters such as Germany's surrender in the war, the impact of the Treaty of Versailles and what it was having in Germany, and finally, economic problems such as hyperinflation. These Germans blamed a variety of groups for this. Some of them blamed Jews, some of them blamed communists, and above all else, they blamed the Weimar government. These right-wing and nationalist Germans wanted to remove from power the traitors who had, in their eyes, stabbed Germany in the back. One of these groups was the German Workers' Party. Adolf Hitler, at first after the war, worked for the German army, and he was sent to spy on what was at this point a small political party. Instead, Hitler was impressed by the leader Anton Drexler, and he joined the party, later becoming leader itself, before eventually changing its name to the National Socialist German Workers' Party, or Nazis. Hitler was a powerful and effective speaker, and he soon began to win more supporters. He used these new members, including people that had been part of the Freikorps, as part of a plan to violently overthrow the Weimar government. Hitler had various powerful supporters as well. This included the politician Gustav von Kahr and the Bavarian army leader Otto von Lossow. Perhaps the most prominent person that gave some backing to Hitler, though, was Germany's wartime leader and national hero, Erich von Ludendorff, who was also a backer of Hitler and the Nazis. On the 8th of November 1923, Hitler led a group of 600 men to a beer hall in Munich, where Kahr and Lossow were holding a meeting. The Nazis stormed into the room and surrounded everyone before Hitler took to the stage with a gun, proclaiming, "The National Revolution has begun." However, Kahr and Lossow refused to back Hitler. Hitler, though, ultimately made a trick by bringing them onto the stage along with Ludendorff to give the impression that they had offered him their backing. Eventually, though, Kahr and Lossow managed to get out of the hall, and they blamed Hitler for organising this rebellion. As a result, Hitler then led his men on a march into the centre of Munich, where he believed he would win public support to overthrow the state government, and then the national government. However, the Bavarian army and police force was sent to end the revolt, and there was a shootout between the two groups, with Nazis and police officers being killed. Hitler himself was injured during this failed attempt at revolution, and after this, he was arrested and put on trial, along with some other leaders. Hitler used his court appearances to build a national profile across Germany. Each day he would give passionate speeches railing against those he believed had wronged him and Germany, and these were widely reported in newspapers across the country. Hitler was eventually found guilty, but was ultimately sentenced to only 5 years in Landsberg prison, and would in fact only ever serve 9 months of this. This was a hugely lenient sentence, especially considered and compared to the treatment given to Spartacist leaders. Many powerful Germans, it seemed, strongly sympathised with Adolf Hitler's views.